Larry Davis, welcome
George
to the
Brundle.
Wait, now you're just stepping all over me. Back to one.
Beep.
Larry Davis,
George
welcome
Brundle.
To the 20... God damn it.
Don't say my name, and then when I respond, be mad about it. The point is...
how every time we try to do this, we fuck up the first recording several times.
Oh, this is... I'm not going to edit this out. Let's go. Come on.
Okay. Larry Davis, welcome to the 2024 Golden Grimmies. Not much to talk about because the game industry is completely fucking collapsed and there were no games this year.
See, I didn't say it. It's like that QTE in Shenmue 2 where you have to not press a button to pass it.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
this is 2024. What are you doing? What's this been?
Well,
this is the Grimmies addendum for 2023.
Yes.
I'm not sure why you're trying to rebrand this as something else. I shouldn't have let you start.
I'm trying to rebrand it because I don't think that video games are going to exist much longer, considering everything that happened in the about a week since we recorded the actual Grimmies.
Yeah.
Because, boy... time really went by very quickly. I feel like 2 to 3 months worth of news happened in the span of about 7 days, and it was so much that we have to record a extra little thing about it.
Like, as soon as we were done recording, I think we looked and was like, Time Splitters developers Free Radical shut down by Embracer Group.
No, that happened before the Grimmies.
Or did
that happened like the day before the Grimmies.
Oh, all right.
What no,
was it?
Embracer,
there was something right after it.
Embracer did shut down like two more
groups,
if I remember right.
It was the 3D Realms and Slipgate?
Yes, that was right. 3D, yeah, 3D Realms and Slipgate, which I think Slipgate was working on something that you were interested in.
Slip Iron?
Yeah.
They were working on Graven, which is one I actually skipped when we were talking about the 2024 games, because their track record isn't that great. But 3D Realms overall is working on... Wrath Aeon of Ruin, which I am looking forward to. That might still come out, I don't know. Who knows?
Well, considering again, and I brought this up in the previous recording, that this quote-unquote restructuring is supposed to continue into March 2024, I don't know that you should be too confident in that game coming out.
Well, it's supposed to be out in like February or something, so at least it might squeeze in.
Unless Embracer starts getting into, like, some Zaslav territory and just, like, cutting off games that are, like, almost done.
Well, it's out in Early Access. Has been for
it
quite
is,
a while.
Okay. Well.
So this would be the 1.0.
Okay. Do you think it's going to get much continued support, then?
Probably not. It's been Early Access for a long time, too.
Yeah, but, so
and
we
don't
did
really
this whole...
understand that for boomer shooters, like... Let's give me the game.
Yeah. But we kind of got into this, it was basically the whole theme of the Grimmies, or at least something that kind of, like, was a element of almost everything that we talked about, just these, like, mass layoffs and studio closures and project cancellations, because the industry has just hit this state of total unsustainability, and everything is also, completely consolidated under the banner of, like, a few companies. That can barely keep themselves afloat. So Embracer, like we talked about in the other recording, they had that, like, billions of dollars that fell through with Saudi investors. But then, like, a few days ago, before this recording, so it's a good thing that we waited about a week just to make sure something else didn't happen, there's all the stuff with Insomniac.
Oh, yeah.
Which... We touched on briefly in the Grimmies, because I think at that point in time, we knew the breach happened and the group that did it was threatening to put out, like, all these stolen documents and passports and, like, basically dox a bunch of people working at Insomniac.
Yeah.
And then it turns out, well, they did all that.
Sony didn't want to pay any money.
Well, judging by some of the PowerPoint presentations, I'm not so sure they had the money.
Sony? I think Sony does.
Maybe.
Insomniac probably doesn't.
Yeah, Insomniac. So some of that stuff that came out was like Sunset Overdrive.
Spider-Man money now.
Yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit about it because it is noteworthy and it does kind of play into to some of the stuff that we had talked about, specifically with layoffs and the unsustainable nature of like current like modern game development. Sunset Overdrive only made a profit of like about $600.
Yeah.
Like when I read that figure too, it was just $600, and I thought like, well, surely that's not correct. They must mean $600,000, and they're just like shorting. No, it was $600.
Actually, I'm kind of surprised it managed to break a profit, considering that came out early in the Xbox One life when nobody wanted an Xbox One.
And it was new IP.
Yep, and from Insomniac, who are mostly known for PlayStation stuff, like to the point where I think a lot of people just assume they're a first-party developer.
Yeah.
But even then... didn't Sony buy them?
Yeah, Sony bought them. Which is why there's a lot of stuff related specifically to Sony and how well Sony is doing in those documents.
Oh. Remember
Fuse? Yeah.
Now that's a bad game. Not Sunset Overdrive.
Rift Apart, which is a PlayStation exclusive, that was after they had gotten, I think it was after they had gotten bought out, right?
I think so.
I think that, yeah. That lost like $8 million.
There was some update to that where it was like, oh no, actually it did turn a profit, but not very much.
Oh, okay. Oh, so it made $300.
Probably.
Great.
It might have made a couple thousand. I don't know.
Well, so there's in those PowerPoints, they're projecting, like, here's what our next projects are going to be, like, leading out to, like, 2030. And it's mostly, like, Marvel stuff. And there is, like, a Ratchet and Clank game pushed towards the end of the decade.
Yeah.
And there's documentation there that says, basically, well, these Marvel IPs are what is working for us and is what is going to make us money. We've been losing money on original IPs, so we're going to have to like cut staff from like the Ratchet project and other new IPs and move them on to the Marvel stuff. So those projects have like big enough teams that they can be completed on time. So that next Ratchet game, as far out as it is, like who knows what shape that's going to take exactly. I can't imagine they're going to treat that as a big video game.
No, probably not. But hey, we're gonna get Venom and another Spider-Man.
Yeah, I remember when I was like, they underutilized Tony Todd.
Yeah.
And then I was holding that monkey's paw at the same time. That was a bad idea. Why would I do that?
I mean, you're holding it all the time, though.
Yeah.
Like, I've told you not to do that, but you keep it around constantly.
The fur is very soft.
No. Yeah.
No. Yeah, so it's all Marvel stuff. Huge chunks of the Wolverine game is just now out there, like the full plot of the game, cast list. There's like mocap sessions that have leaked for that thing.
Huh.
And then gameplay demos, of course.
That's you can the smell part I stuff. Saw.
Yeah, you can smell stuff like Kaito. So yeah. I'm excited for that.
Nobody knows what that means, by the way. You realize
that. Okay, so in the Kaito
people
files,
would think
the DLC...
you're talking about the guy for like Bruce Lee and the Green Hornet. Like, oh yeah, Kaito. He was known for smelling things.
I've never seen Green Hornet. He might have. No, Kaito from the Kaito files, the DLC for Lost Judgment, the best Yakuza game to release in a very long time.
See, that's how deep a cut that is. It's DLC for a spinoff of Yakuza.
He's an animal of a man, so like one of the ways that you solve crimes is by wandering the streets of Japan, of Tokyo, and just, or Kamurocho, sniffing garbage.
Kamurocho's in Tokyo.
It's in Tokyo, yeah. I'm going down from Japan to Tokyo to the specific, like, province.
Yes.
Prefecture. Or prefecture, rather.
I don't know if it even is a prefecture, actually.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think
anyway.
It's basically like a neighborhood. Like, it's like the Bronx, basically.
Anyway, the mechanic is not too dissimilar. Kaito would go around just sniffing at the air, and you would use that to, like, literally sniff out clues. So I'm glad that that is a mechanic. I'm glad that Wolverine is 5 foot tall and just walking around going, like, just, like, snorting everything that he puts in front of his face.
He should. That's core to the Wolverine experience, really.
There was someone who posted a picture of like Wolverine stabbing a guy and being like, "Oh, great! So this is going to have the same gameplay as Spider-Man." Sitting here thinking like, "Yeah, all the time Spider-Man like dissected guys."
No, that's
All right.
that was something that I had assumed. I had assumed it was going to be like God of War style over the shoulder type thing, and I apparently so.
Yeah,
Okay.
with stealth sections, and I hope those stealth sections are better than what they designed for the Spider-Man games, because that
Yeah.
is pretty lacking.
Wolverine's well known for being sneaky.
I think that stealth and around can kind of work for him.
Mostly he would just kind of like hide in a tree or something until somebody comes by and then just murder everyone. But
I
I
still
don't know.
think all the like animal connections with Wolverine makes him more suited to like stalking prey than Spider-Man. Even if it may not
Yeah.
necessarily be like the most in character for him.
I mean, we all know that the greatest predator in the animal kingdom is the bat, so that's why Batman has the predator gameplay.
That's right. So yeah, there's an X-Men game that is even further off, and it basically like Wolverine is serving as the first in that series, and so I guess we're going to build off of that with the X-Men titles. But it is all Marvel stuff from here on out for Insomniac, because they need to go with what makes them money. And part of those leaked PowerPoints was basically the through sales on a bunch of other Sony first party titles. And that is where it starts to make sense why Sony is going really hard into like character-driven single-player action games, because when you look at all the numbers stacked up, those are demonstrably making more money for them than anything else that they're putting out.
Oh, weird.
Like Demon Souls, I think sold like 2 million copies or something like that, and then like I think it was like I gotta look at the figure
The
again,
Last of
but the,
Us. What
like
did The Last of Us do?
I think like 7.5 million,
I'm
something like
killing
that.
myself.
Okay, so I found it. Some of these numbers. A lot of this stuff seems to also be getting purged off the internet. Of course, I think Sony's kind of running around trying to take down as much of this as they can. But for Ratchet and Clank: A Rift Apart, the figure that I'm seeing is $2.34 million. Stuff like Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut, $1.49 million. So we might not ever have to look at footprints again, which.
Good. A silver lining in all of this. Oh wait, that's director's cut. I bet the original probably sold
Yeah,
more.
the original probably. I think that is on here. I'm kind of like looking through, but Spider-Man Miles Morales, compare that to Rift Apart. That sold 10.18 million.
Oh no.
Yeah. The Demon Souls remake was
You did this.
1.857 million. I might have contributed to some of that. The Demon Souls remake, 1.857 million. Spider-Man in 2018, 22.12 million.
Ooh.
God of
Oh.
War PS4, 20.82 million. Horizon Zero Dawn, 19.26
My,
million.
really?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Days Gone, 7.32 million, more than a Rift Apart. So if you wonder why Sony's like, we need more of these specific types of games, this is why. They are moving more than anything else.
That
This is
many
why you're
people
never
were
going to
like,
see Ape Escape again.
that many people were looking at like this crappy biker game from the Siphon Filter developers and were like, yeah, give me more of
Yeah.
that.
Now I'm trying to look through this chart because this may include Steam sales as well. I don't know. I'm trying to like piece together a lot of this information on the spreadsheet on the fly. But still, I think regardless of whether or not it factors in Steam sales or is just console specific, it still paints a picture that these character-driven action games, these story-heavy action games, are what is selling for Sony.
Like Ratchet and Clank.
Like Ratchet and Clank.
Story driven, it's a character focused, it's an action game.
There is a
Punched a hole in your
article.
theory, didn't I, smarty pants?
Well, you sure did.
Idiot.
There's an article by Ethan Gatch on Kotaku that has been kind of assembling a lot of this stuff as well, and kind of like going through it and painting a more complete, readable picture. And so I would probably encourage people to go read that as well. One bit that stands out to me here, reads, a more recent presentation in November points to potentially more drastic cuts. Quote, slimming down Ratchet and cutting new IP will not account for the reduction Sony is looking for, reads a PowerPoint note attributed to Insomniac head Ted Price. Quote, to remove 50 to 75 people strategically, our best option is to cut deeply into Wolverine and Spider-Man 3, replacing lower performers with team members from Ratchet and new IP. Some more documentation in the PowerPoints that have leaked have indicated that what Sony wants to do, because they just see this as a continuing problem financially, like the cost of game development and sort of what they're selling, what their overhead is, that they are, want to see a push into charging $80 to $100 per unit on a game instead of $70.
Yeah, good luck.
They are also panic shitting themselves over PS Plus because they're like, shit, not enough people are buying into this. Wow, which explains the price hike. Yes. But part of their explanation for why PS Plus has not been working out for them is, unlike Game Pass, unlike Microsoft, they can't find a way to put these like big releases that have had these like monstrous budgets into a package like that and essentially give them away for, like, you know, air quotes, free.
Yeah.
Which is why they've raised the price, which is why they also, after raising the price, have looked at it and gone, we don't think that this model is going to work for us long term. And that makes sense. Like, to a certain degree, like, when you look at the cold, like, business side of it and the numbers, it makes sense why every month when there's a new slate of PS Plus titles coming out, it's shit that nobody is going to care about. Yeah. Like, nobody in their right mind.
Here's something from a $5 Humble Bundle. Enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess to me, like, that's part of what is really scary about this is if Sony goes under, or they start really just hemorrhaging cash aggressively, and like Xbox and Nintendo are the only games left in town. Like, that's not good.
Is it?
I don't think that just having like two major competitors at this point is really a good thing, because like Nintendo is targeting almost a totally different market than what Microsoft and Sony is targeting. And so Microsoft is essentially not going to really have any competition at all, which means that they're going to just like eat up more studios. They're going to further consolidate things. And if Game Pass works out for them, if that's a model that's actually making them money, then you also start to see the disappearance of ownership.
My take is that I really hate Sony, so.
I mean, me too. Like, there's like,
also
a lot
hate
of
Nintendo and Xbox. I am mostly ambivalent about.
I kind of hate all of them, but it's a problem of the industry's own making, and to a significant extent, you know, Sony is contributing to their own failures. I mean, it's, we've talked about this before. There's been recordings of us years back saying that, like, the current state of game development, of major studio game development, is unsustainable.
Yep.
And, like, I think anyone with gray matter between their ears can just kind of look at the industry without any insider info and come to that conclusion. It's not hard to piece together a game needing, like, a $300 million budget and being in development for 6 years. If that comes out and it doesn't make its money back, that studio is fucked. Like, that just, it's how the numbers
work. It's just gambling, basically, at that point.
Yeah. And
so
we
gotta hit it big or you go bankrupt.
Yeah.
Movies are the same way, though. Like, they've been doing the exact same thing. Like, budgets have been ballooning to the point where it's like, well, our future rests on this $400 million movie. Let's hope it makes $800
million. And what if I were to tell you, Larry, that Marvel's Spider-Man 2 actually had a higher budget than any actual Spider-Man movie?
Two?
Marvel's Spider-Man 2, the video game,
how?
Had a higher budget than any actual movie with Spider-Man in it.
Huh.
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting, considering much of it was reused from the first one, but okay.
There was something in one of those PowerPoint slides that was just like, is the fact that this is three times the budget going to reflect in the product in a way that consumers are going to be able to understand? Like, that was a problem that they outlined in the PowerPoint. It's like, no, in fact, most people aren't going to look at that game and think, yeah, this is three times the budget of the previous one.
The Shinmu of our time.
And
Spider-Man 2
like,
doesn't have Tom. We already did this.
No. Yeah, we already did. But I mean, it's a salient point.
Yeah, you have to have Tom. If you're going to spend that much money on a game, get Tom in it. Then people look at it and be like, oh, that's where the money went.
Okay, there's another bit that I wanted to quote from the same article. These and other presentations provide a clear sense that Insomniac, despite its successes and the seeming resources of its parent company, is grappling with how to reverse the trend of ballooning blockbuster development costs. Quote, we have to make future AAA franchise games for $350 million or less, reads one slide from a sustainable budgets presentation earlier this year. In today's dollars, that's like making Spider-Man 2, the movie, for $250 million. The fact that they label these both as Spider-Man 2 and not put Marvel in front of the name, very confusing, first of all. In today's dollars, that's like making Marvel's Spider-Man 2 for $250 million. That's $65 million less than our Spider-Man 2 budget. I actually got them backwards again. This is terrible writing. Another slide puts the problem more starkly.
I think some of this might be a you problem.
No, they. I could send you this. They're literally just bracketing it Spider-Man 2 every single time.
Oh.
Look, I'm saying people should read the Kotaku article, and I know that this is probably the way that it is actually presented in the language of the PowerPoint, but I just feel it would be more responsible on Kotaku's part to further clarify what Spider-Man 2 they're talking about.
Amazing Spider-Man 2. We're getting Jamie Foxx back.
Ooh.
Wait, they already did that. No Way Home.
Yeah, they did. Another slide puts the problem more starkly. Is 3 times the investment in Spider-Man 2 evident to anyone who plays the game? A more recent presentation in November points to potentially more drastic... Okay, that then gets into the Ratchet thing that I already mentioned. But anyway, yeah, it's...
Yeah, it's bad. It's all bad.
$350 million. Oh my god. Yeah.
Okay, so this wasn't part of a recording or anything, but earlier on in the year, when I was modding a PlayStation 2 and going through lists of PS2 games to figure out what to put on it, which I put basically everything on it, except for, like, you know, shovelware and sports games.
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah, I got a 2 terabyte drive in there. I can hold it all. I could even put the shovelware on there if I wanted.
Not to distract from where you're going with this, I got that Super EverDrive in an 8 gigabyte SD card. Was wondering what I was going to put on that, and was like, oh, wait a second. Every Super Nintendo game, of course. Yeah.
You can put everything on like a 500 megabyte card or something.
I think the only reason it's 8 megabyte, I think that it requires an 8 gigabyte card. I think just the way that that card is set up, that it's like the minimum has to be 8 gigabyte or something like that. I don't quite remember. Yeah, I might be wrong about that.
I wonder if maybe that's like the lowest capacity of SDHC cards or something.
I think that might be the case, yeah.
Anyway. But
plenty of overhead for the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, so I was just looking through a list of PS2 games, and I was going through it by date, and back then, almost every week, there was some all-time great game coming out. Most of the time, more than one. And that's because back then, game development times were not 6 years and $400 million, and they could just crank stuff out. It was great.
I don't know, Larry. I've been told that this is the best year ever.
The best year ever for video games.
I'm looking at all these PowerPoint documentations, and they all say it's the best year ever.
Quick note.
Everything is going great in the video game industry.
Quick note for anybody listening to this at the time it comes, time it goes up, Clash Artifacts of Chaos currently on sale on the PlayStation Network. Some would say the third best game of 2023.
Well, I don't know about that, but anyway, it's just a real grim picture. Cost of like,
we'll see who's laughing
identities.
Next year when my best old game is a Psy Girls for the PS2.
I'll be laughing.
Which
I
disc
laugh.
Will I pick? Will it be Frost or Aya or whatever they are? They're two discs and they're like two different characters.
No.
Not to be confused with Rogue Ops, which looks like, or Stolen, like 3 PS2 games about lady spies that all came out like at the exact same time.
Yeah, but man, there was a point in time where you could put out three games about lady spies all at the same time, and they
Yeah.
didn't cost $300+ million
That's
dollars
right.
to make.
They
And
probably
like,
cost less than one to make.
yeah. And so like, I don't know that this I don't think the industry is going to make it through the end of the generation. Like it I again, we've talked
I
about in the
think it'll
past that
live
it's
to the end.
unsustainable. Maybe it, but we've talked about its unsustainability. I think the fact that we actually have like hard numbers out there that show we're one of like the big three like hardware manufacturers and publishers, like where they're at, where one of their biggest studios is at financially, the cost of these games, where they're kind of projecting they need to put money and resources, like paints such a worse picture of where I thought everything was at in the moment.
Oh, this is about what I expected.
It's worse than what I thought. I thought that we would kind of be at this point, maybe a little further down the line in this generation, and that things wouldn't get really like bad until the generation after. I wonder if like this generation is kind of it before the bubble bursts, or if, like you said, we limp to it and then shortly into the next one, it's just like everything's on fire.
Oh, I don't know that there will be a next one. I'm just saying, like, however you consider the length of the generation, like it could be like we would get to the what would it be like 6 years since the PS5 came out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Well,
I would count that.
they're also, yeah, and they're planning some of this stuff out to 2030, and I imagine that's like they're looking at it more as a cross-gen thing
Yeah.
potentially, but I wonder if, and I didn't read every single page of every single PowerPoint, but I do kind of wonder if maybe they're looking at that too, of like, oh, the generation's going to last until 2030.
No way. That would be 10 years.
Yeah, what gaming generation would last 10 years?
I don't know.
This one. There's never been a better time to be playing video games here. At the end of the video game industry.
Here we are at the end of all things, as they say.
Yeah.
Looking
I
forward to the
wonder.
PS5 Pro.
Yeah, me too.
Because it will let me play the games that have already been out, which might be the last ones ever, at better frame rates.
I'm excited for ballooning budgets taking Sony out and then taking Microsoft out probably later than Sony. And then Nintendo is the only game left in town. They're the only one left standing.
Know what's messed up is actually Sega kind of understand how to do this. They have Ryuga Gotoku team just cranking out games like every year that apparently do pretty well. They've
Yeah.
got the Atlas cranking out their stuff. It's gonna
Yeah.
be Sega and Nintendo again, is what I'm saying.
Basically, if their whole like revitalizing old IPs thing actually ends up working out for them and they don't somehow manage to
It
completely
won't.
botch that, which I don't believe, like it's Sega, so I never put any faith in them actually executing well on one of their plans or ideas.
I think they could turn out okay, but I don't think people will buy them.
I definitely don't think anyone's going to buy fucking Golden Axe in the year
No.
2024. That's just not happening. Oh, that Ninja Gaiden one seems like it's probably got a small enough budget. I bet that'll
Shinobi.
do fine. Or yes, I'm sorry, Shinobi.
Please.
Yeah.
The superior ninja series. Don't me, Mr. Team Ninja Dilettante.
Okay, so real quick, since we're doing an addendum, I did finish Woe Long by the time that this recording is finished. I had mentioned that it may have had the potential to break my top 10 in the Golden Gizmos, and I think it still would have stood a chance if they didn't release a patch for that thing, which completely fucked up like the last third of that game. It's a lot of weird stuff with like audio slowing down into demonic growls and the
Yeah.
game freezing up and constantly relaunching the app and like getting notifications that pop up at the PlayStation 5 UI saying that I've been disconnected from the internet, even though I'm not. And then like having to constantly like dismiss those in the middle of gameplay because it doesn't pause the game when those pop up. Even though Woe Long does let you pause the game.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure why they didn't. I don't know.
It's yeah, sometimes games will do that with the like your controller has been disconnected message. They won't pause it. It's like, man, you know the controller's not connected.
Yeah. Just program it in, then pause it. Like, especially if the game itself pauses. If it is like a Dark Souls kind of thing where it does not pause, I'm a little bit more understanding of why it wouldn't actually, like, you know.
I mean, I'm also one of those people who thinks there's no good reason for no pausing in a Souls game. I think that's just stupid.
I agree. I think it only makes sense in, like, an online environment if you have that enabled and you're able to get invaded at any time. But yeah, if you're playing it offline, just let them pause the game. So... But yeah, Wolong did not make my top 10. You bought Elden Ring?
Yep.
Oh, nice.
It's finally, I just finally reached the point where I was like, well, I guess this isn't going to get any cheaper for the foreseeable future, so
yeah,
I get it now in case I want to play it.
Well, thanks to your contributions, the game industry is going to last another 10 years.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for finally spending money instead of pirating everything. Something that I'm going to now need to do if they're going to start charging $80 to $100 for a damn video game. I'm only willing to pay $100 for a video game if it's Final Fantasy VII and I can get 2 steelbooks. Otherwise, non-negotiable.
I only spend it if I can get like a 12-inch statue of Abe from Oddworld.
Oh, but what if you waited a little while and then you could get a 12-inch statue of Abe from Oddworld for like $35?
That is actually what I did.
Yeah.
Because it was on like PS Plus.
Yeah.
Remember when they were actually trying to put effort into PS Plus?
Yeah, when there was a peer, and then, like, the fucked up part about that is, like, oh, that's actually, like, a pretty good thing to put into a PS Plus package because that game came out, like, just recently. You can play this new thing that's out now. Yeah. Actually, I was mistaken. I thought it released, like, a week ahead of that, but yeah, it did launch on it. But they did, like, the Game Pass thing where it was, like, brand new video game, it's out on the subscription service, you can play it now, and then that basically, they took the money out of Lauren Lanning's pocket.
Yeah.
And then, like, bashed him in the kneecaps and left him for dead, basically. Never going to get another Oddworld ever again. Oh, everything's terrible. So, yeah, it's we already awarded biggest shitstorm, and I kind of explained the reasoning there behind, like, there has to be a funny component of it. There's nothing funny about the Insomniac thing. It is worth talking about because it feeds into a lot of stuff that we had discussed on the prior podcast. I do want to make a point, though, that all this information, as illuminating as it is, and as good as it is that it probably gets out there and other people who aren't considering kind of the state of the industry can see these numbers and go, oh, this is dire. Not worth the cost of people's information getting leaked online, doxed, their names putting out there. That is horrible. That is the really, like, dark part of this entire thing. Especially because you got a lot of weirdo freaks that are still mad that they can't fuck Mary Jane, and now, I don't know, they might have people's, like, passport information.
Oh, who cares? They're probably the people with the passports.
Well, I'm obsessed with it because it is, like, a part of, like, current game culture's weirdo freaks very vocally getting mad about weird shit with video games, specifically pertaining to, well, specifically pertaining to not being able to goon while they play their games, I guess. But
that's, you know why? Because we used to have a guy named Tomonobu Itagaki who would make games specifically for that purpose.
Look,
now who knows what he's up? He made Devil's Third and got blacklisted, I guess.
Look, all those people out there who are, like, this incensed against these studios because they don't put enough sex appeal in their games, got a little news for you. Wolong lets you go into that character creator at any time and increase the size of your character's tits at no cost. You don't need a special item. You could do that whenever you want. And they jiggle all over the place.
Team Ninja.
So go, a name go you can play. Trust. That's right. Go play Wolong. I highly recommend it. Or wait until next month when a new Neptunia game comes out. You guys probably like that shit, I don't know.
Man, I was disappointed when I tried a Neptunia game. Because it was like...
Oh, what's that?
Well, because the idea of, like, oh, characters based on game consoles and stuff, I thought, okay, that's kind of a neat hook for an RPG. Man, it was boring.
Yeah, that... I've kind of gathered that the Hyperdimension Neptunia games are actually kind of dull. Yeah. But
I
don't know.
Wasn't even horny, actually, from what I played. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was one of the earlier ones. Maybe they got more like that later. I don't know.
The one that I remember seeing was that one where it came packed in. You got like a body pillowcase and like a bunch of other. I think it came with like a pair of panties or something like that.
This was
they were
one
leaning
for
into
the Vita.
I think so.
It was probably one of the first couple.
I think that one of the ones I'm thinking of was for the Vita.
I don't know. Maybe you're thinking of Senran Kagura.
No, but I think that they still make those games. Point is, there's plenty of games for perverts that still exist out there. Just go play those instead.
Are we going to get to the reason I brought up doing this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, do it. I thought it might be interesting to take a look at all of the studios that Embracer Group owns and determine what we think might happen in the future. Who will be saved? Who will be shuttered? The answer probably is most of them.
All right, we're starting a new Deadpool, I guess. I'm excited to lose.
No, we're not going to bet anything on this.
Okay.
It just kind of feels bad.
Yes.
Winning all the time.
Oh, I thought you were going to say bad winning specifically in the circumstance of people losing their jobs.
No,
and not
no,
just
no.
like generally taking money from your friend.
No, it didn't make me feel bad about Betty White or anything else. All right, first of all, THQ Nordic and the stuff under their umbrella would be Black Forest Games. Do you know what Black Forest Games does?
No, I do not. Remember. Well, that's a good sign, so they're definitely going out of business.
They're doing that Last Ronin Ninja Turtles game.
Oh, well, I suppose their fate depends on how well a Ninja Turtles game sells in, like, 2026 or whenever that comes out.
They just announced, like, development is starting on it, though.
Okay.
That thing's pretty far out.
Yeah, so I guess at that point, would canceling that game break some sort of contractual obligation that would then cost Embracer Group money? Or would it being early enough? But what if it being that early in development, they could look at kind of the cost of breaking that contract versus the cost of investing in the game long term? That's a tough one.
I think they'll get shut down. And I think the Ninja Turtles thing will get moved to somebody else. That's
I'm
going
to just to be a contrarian, I'm going to go opposite. I think that they won't get shut down, but I think that their studio long term is either going to depend on how much money that game makes, or it's going to be one of those cases where they release the game and then in the next week they have shut down.
Okay. Bugbear. They did the Flatouts and Wreckfest.
They're still active?
Yep, apparently so.
I give them until the end of next month.
Yeah, they have not put out anything since Wreckfest, so not long for this world, probably.
Yeah, that's kind of a pending chopping block. I could see that happening in the next 3 months for sure.
Gunfire Games, I think they'll be fine. Remnant seems to be doing well for them.
Yeah.
They got the Darksiders stuff, so they're probably going to be okay.
Yeah.
Maybe. Of course, this is all assuming Embracer doesn't just, like, shut everything down. Just scorched earth. But
yeah.
Handy Games?
Handy Games?
Yeah, Handy Games. It looks like they mostly do phone stuff.
Oh, I don't know what the phone market is like for games right now. Remember back when, like, everyone was worried about that? They were like, the mobile market's making a ton of money. We need to shift into that. Now it's like, I don't even know where the hell that market is. I don't know if they're, like, not suffering from any of the ill effects of this stuff and are doing fine, or...
So, the Wikipedia article for Handy Games features all of their games dating back to 2003 when they were making them for Java. Including games such as Sexy Twins 2.
Oh god, I was going to say they made the meat and fuck games, but was not far off, I guess.
Townsmen. Oh, they did that bad Jagged Alliance, Jagged Alliance Rage, The Great Beer Quiz, Porn Tycoon.
Oh, well, of course I know about those two games. Those are definitely handy games.
Stunt Kite Party.
Well, no, okay, so Larry, they're not getting cut because I keep playing their shit, apparently.
Little Big Workshop, Chicken Police, Paint It Red.
Just
The
to find
iOS.
developers of pornography games and also games for children.
Well, I was kind of skipping back and forth. The iOS and Android ports of SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom Rehydrated.
Was that the one that people didn't like? Not like the base game, but like the remake or the port job of it was
Oh,
apparently not good.
I thought people liked the remake. To me, it sucked just as much as the original, so.
Right. Well, I don't know because I'm not a child.
Okay, I mean, I was when the first one came out, and I didn't like it then.
I was an adult back then.
Piranha Bytes?
Is that a studio or another game?
No, Piranha Bytes is a studio. They do all those,
Okay.
like Euro jank CRPGs, like go the Gothics were them, Risen.
God.
Two Worlds? Two Worlds is somebody else.
See, this is now all this has me thinking about like, okay, well, what is the kind of like average budget for that stuff versus how much money does it make back?
Yeah,
And
I don't
like,
know.
and for Embracer, is their priority to really keep any of these like, are they going to like shift towards a Sony kind of model where it's like, okay, no, we need all the like big money stuff and everything else just needs to go? Because like at that point, then yeah, somebody making like a CRPG, like they're going to get cut
They're
because like the
making
CRPG
gothic
market's not,
money. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they must be cheap enough that they can make back what they spend on them.
I'm gonna say they'll survive. I'm gonna say I'm not sure the higher ups at Embracer even know they exist.
Probably not.
Real giant bomb situation where they end up surviving because nobody remembers that that office is open.
Yeah, I think they'll probably stick around. Purple Lamp. Purple Lamp, they make the SpongeBob games. They did the regular port, or the regular version of the Rehydrated and the new one. I think they're gonna get shut down.
I think that might be a case where they lay off some of the staff and maybe don't shut them down. But yeah, shutdown
That's not
seems
an
more likely, I
option.
guess.
You have to
Yeah.
choose live or die.
Just either live or die, then they die.
All right. Rainbow Studios apparently still active.
We're only so many names into this list. I'm going to say a lot of these studios need to get better names.
You don't know Rainbow?
No, I'm not, so sorry. I'm more speaking about the previous ones, not Rainbow.
Oh, okay.
Like Purple Lamp is just not a particularly good name for a
Well,
game studio.
Purple Lamp's not been around very long. Apparently, they were just formed like for that Bikini Bottom Rehydrated thing.
Oh, okay, then yes, they are definitely dead.
Yeah, they just had that and then something else and then the new SpongeBob are basically
Oh
the only
God.
things he made. Rainbow, they've been around a long time.
As always, just run some names of games
They
down
did all
for me.
those like ATV Off-Road Fury games for like the PS2
Oh.
and Xbox. The Matt Hoffman BMX games, I think,
Oh,
were
then
them.
well, they're surviving. They got the Matt Hoffman charm on them.
Okay. Hold on. Let me see what their most recent one was.
Matt Hoffman is staring down at them from heaven and giving them his eternal blessing, and they're not going anywhere.
I made MX versus ATV Legends in 2022. They've been releasing games almost every year.
I'm going to say that they're the last studio Embracer shuts down.
Probably. They're good old reliable.
Yep.
All right, then we have this other umbrella, Plyon? Oh, that is. Which includes Deep Silver, which includes Dam Buster Studios.
Oh, they aren't making it to see the spring, I'm afraid.
Dam Buster?
No, if they own Deep Silver, what did Deep Silver get shut down or did they just get a bunch of staff cuts? I
Just
thought they got
staff
shut
cuts,
down.
I think. I'm not sure what the deal is with Deep Silver anymore, honestly.
I'm going to look up and see if Deep Silver is still active.
But Dam Buster, they just did they kind of took over development of Dead Island 2. Apparently it did okay. That's the studio that's mostly old Free Radical people.
Yeah, Deep Silver is still around. Okay, it was just Free Radical getting closed down. That made me think. I couldn't remember if they were part of that, if they lost people, or if they were shut down along with it or what. So, surprised they didn't get shut down.
Live or die. They did a... Dam Buster.
Yeah. That.
Okay. I say live. Fish Labs. I'm just going to go ahead and start looking.
Yeah.
So you know what they did. Chorvs. You know Chorvs?
No.
It's Chorus, but they wrote it with a V for a U, so okay. It looks like Chorvs.
Is that the game that has been consistently on sale for like $3 damn?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, they're getting shut down.
Well, they also made, I guess they did the Xbox ports of Valheim. As ports, doesn't count, they're dead.
Yeah, anybody can get a port job, so yeah. I don't know.
See, I knew Valheim was successful, so I thought, oh, and then saw it was, yeah, okay.
Every time I've seen Corvs or whatever pop up, it has been on a ridiculously deep sale that makes it seem like people are trying to clear stock of that game out. So
yeah, like Prey. I played some of it. It was on Game Pass, and whatever. It's a game.
I've thought about it a few times because it has been so cheap. Like, I don't know, here's a video game, doesn't cost very much, whatever, buy it. But
Digix Art. They did Lust in Harmony, 1111 Memories Retold, Road 96, Road 96 Mile Zero. I played Road 96, I hope they die.
Larry!
It's a terrible game.
No! I hope they survive, I hope nobody loses their job. Larry endorses all these motherfuckers ending up in a chow line.
That's right, I do. If you make Road 96, you deserve whatever happens to you.
Christ.
It's like, man, if you played that game, you would want to just be put in a gas chamber or something.
What the fuck, man? Okay.
You would be so, so angry at it, I guarantee.
I mean, I don't doubt that I would be very angry, but...
It's sort of a walking simulator game.
I'm angry already.
But more than that, it just has a huge random chance element to it. And so you can get completely screwed over. It's combination walking sim and roguelike. and then a bunch of stuff, it can just be like, you need $500 to not die. You had no chance to get $500 before this point.
I'm going to guess that they're probably not going to be around, or they'll get a staff cut or something.
Apparently reviewed well. I don't know what they're talking about.
People want roguelikes. They love roguelikes.
Yeah. The thing is, there are parts of that game that I actually liked. There's a couple of characters in particular that are really good. But then I would just like get to the end, and it's like, do you want to... you don't have the money to pay for somebody to smuggle you in. Will you go in the back of this truck? And you do, and then it's like, now you have to hold your breath when they're trying to detect you. And you do, and then you just die. But if you would let go, then you would also die or get arrested. I don't know. It just seemed like there were a lot of places where there was no possible way to win it.
I think this says a lot about the illusion of choice, and is very smart and artistic, actually.
Flying Wild Hog.
Again, game studio or name of a video game, I can't tell anymore.
Game studio, a Painkiller.
Oh.
Wait, no, that's People Can Fly. Flying Wild Hog was Shadow Warrior and Evil West.
Hmm. Live.
Maybe.
I'm making that decision arbitrarily, like okay. Embracer would.
I think die. Shadow Warrior 3 apparently did not do well because that thing is constantly on sale. It was on sale like 2 weeks after it came out. They Hitman 2'd it. Look how IO turned out. Trek to Germany, I don't think did very well. Evil West was
right.
Evil West was good, but I don't know that sold that much.
Wait, what, was Shadow Warrior good though?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking at this and it was something that I was interested in, and it was you know, one of those games where it comes out and I'm like, oh, I want to play that, and then I just totally forget about it.
Shadow Warrior 3, I don't know. I haven't played 3. 1 and 2 were okay. Good, though. 2 was weird, though, because it was, like, very different from 1. 1's basically a standard sort of boomer shooter type thing. 2 has a lot of loot elements to it, but it was still fun. 3 looked like it was taking a lot from Doom Eternal, and I've been meaning to play it, especially now that I have a good computer, because I didn't want to play that with the controller.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to buy all their games up and keep them in business a little bit longer. How about that? All
right. Great. Milestone? Oh, MotoGP. They're the MotoGP people. Liv.
Yeah, Liv.
They've been making those games for like 20 years. They're not going to stop now. Apparently, they have a subcategory, Play On Pictures, which includes Anime Limited. And I think die. You don't want limited anime. You want unlimited anime.
Yeah, you raise a very good point. I'm also in the die camp.
Why would anybody say, hey, we've got anime, but we're going to limit it?
We only have a small quantity of anime.
It's disgusting.
Oh, you know what? No, I changed my mind because Limited Run Games has been around for quite a long time, and their whole business is predicated on having a very limited quantity of the things that they want you to buy.
I think they're exactly as bad as Anime Limited.
Well, they are also owned by Embracer, and just skipping ahead a bit, I'm going to assume Limited Run's going to still be around.
I don't know that they're listed here because it's not like a game studio. I don't know, they're talking about limited anime, so maybe... Warhorse, they made Kingdom Come Deliverance. Who cares? Die.
Naming a lot of games I've never heard of in this podcast. Yeah, I'm going with Die.
See, again, this is the problem with your rules of like, if it's an old game, you can't have spent any time in it until now. I play about everything that comes out.
Larry loves to spend about 15 minutes in every single video game, and perhaps he'll come back to them one day.
Actually, yes. I like to keep my fingers in a lot of pies. No, that's just...
Hey, Larry, get your finger out of my pie. Come on. I was going to eat that later.
Look, that's rental psychology from a childhood of never having money to buy games. But I could rent a lot of stuff.
Psychology of a man who in his youth kept looking at copies of Bart vs. the Space Mutants on the shelf and going, well, it's only for a weekend.
I did get Superman 64. It was one of the few that like I actually owned for the 64.
I did not. I had a cousin who just owned that game outright, and I played it at his house, but it was like already like past the point where that was known as like a very bad video game.
No, this was like when it came out because I loved the Superman show so much. Still do. That game? Ooh.
Yeah, Superman shows were great.
What are you talking about? You never watched it. I've tried to tell you the Superman animated Superman series
shows.
Is like the best Superman anything.
Superman shows are pretty good.
Coffee Stain
Wait,
Studios.
I'm sorry, hold on. You are, of course, talking about the Superman cartoons where it's like there's a mad scientist and then Lois Lane, woman that she is, she wants to go do a story on him and Superman's like, that's no place for a lady. And then he saves the day and saves Lois Lane.
You're talking about the Max Fleischer cartoons.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about too, right?
No. Coffee Stain Studios.
I thought that you would have loved the very misogynistic Max Fleischer cartoons.
I do. They're also great. But that wasn't what I was talking about.
Coffee Stain Studios. I have heard of them, but again, just remind me the games that some of these people make.
Goat Simulator and Satisfactory.
Oh, they're in business forever.
Yeah.
They're probably like sustainable off of Goat Simulator money still.
They published Valheim, apparently, and published Goat Simulator 3, which they kind of farmed out to some new people. So, yeah, Live.
Yeah, I think they're fine.
I like Satisfactory.
Would you say it's Satisfactory?
Ghost Ship Games. Oh, Deep Rock Galactic. Live.
Yeah.
I'm just going to the ones that I can click on here, because most of this stuff, I have no idea.
I think Larry and I's stance is if you can't click on the name of your studio, you should probably be looking for work.
I mean, there's a whole bunch of them here under Amplifier Game Invest.
Yeah.
Is Amplifier Game Invest? That sounds like Bitcoin stuff.
Man, yeah, and that's just a whole other... God, this industry is fucking rotten.
Oh, Tarsier Studio, maybe Tarsier? I don't know, Tarsier Studios. It's a Swedish video game developer. They did the Little Nightmares games.
Hmm. Liv.
Liv. I don't know. I don't know that those sell that well, but people seem to like them. I haven't played either of them.
Have you considered yet how bleak of an exercise this is?
Yeah, that's the point.
Okay.
Mr. Headmaster of the Grimmies over here talking about how this is a little bit morbid. Oh man, Saber Interactive.
All right.
Let's see, they've got 3D Realms, which we already know. Is in trouble.
The ill fate of 3D Realms.
Ooh,
yeah.
Aspyr, dead.
Yeah.
Definitely dead. Aspyr and Beamdog.
Yeah.
Demiurge Studios, I don't know what that is.
That name is familiar. What's some of the stuff that they've done?
Advent Rising. I know what Demiurge is.
But...
30, Brothers in Arms, Earned in Blood. The PC port of Mass Effect, famously bad.
Oh.
The last thing they made was Sega Heroes for the iOS. And Crazy Taxi Gazillionaire.
Well, rest in peace.
They were bought after that to Embracer.
What the fuck?
Embracer saw this 3 years after their last game and it was like, you know what? We gotta have these guys.
Jesus Christ. Embracer's buying up properties like I'm buying up anime toys. I'm just over here looking at figures going like, yeah, whatever. I don't really care about this character. I'm gonna buy it. I'm gonna buy this bootleg too. Like, same mentality of just, if I've got money to spend, I might as well spend all of my money.
They buy studios like you buy properties in Fortune Street.
Yeah. That's another apt comparison. Look, I'm not very responsible with my finances. You can compare this to literally any way I spend my money. It's going to go bad for them. It's going to go bad for me.
New World Interactive? Insurgency Sandstorm. Liv.
Okay, yeah.
Nimble Giant Entertainment?
Larry.
Rocket Arena and Star Trek Infinite, dead.
Oh, I was going to say, will they be nimble enough to avoid the chopping block? But unfortunately.
No.
Yeah.
Star Trek Infinite. That's not the Telltale game. That's the...
No.
That's the Stellaris type thing.
Yeah. I still don't, you know, it's probably not.
I still say dead, because that did not do well, there are just mods for Stellaris that are also Star Trek mods that are, like, just do that. Slipgate Ironworks, dead.
Yeah.
Tripwire Interactive, Killing Floor.
Fine.
Yeah, I would say so, especially since Killing Floor 3 is supposed to be out.
Although, it's hard to say. I think kind of also how we're looking at this too is just, okay, the quality of the games and, like, have they reviewed well? Have people been playing them? Have they been on sale much? And, like, that's not necessarily bad factors to consider, but also Embracer's been, like,
also
cutting
mostly
some
irrelevant
staff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And studios with names that you recognize.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know, like, any of these, even the ones that we say are safe and that seem to us as safe in the moment, like, they might not be here by the time this recording goes up. I don't know.
That was why I was saying this is under the proviso they don't just cut everything, which I think is very likely. Like, they're just going to do a fire sale and basically nuke almost everything they have.
Yeah, I wonder. So, at least as far as that is concerned, I don't know that they go the fire sale route before March. I think they're going to stick with the restructuring plan. But yeah, if they hit another snag, like the Saudi deal... Yeah, it's like fire sale territory. I think they're just going to cut their losses at that point.
Zen Studios.
Hi, I'm Michael Pachter. I'm a name you can trust.
Zen Studios.
I know who they are. Remind me again what they've done.
Pinball guys.
Pinball guys. Right. No, they live forever.
Yeah.
Have you seen how much they are charging per pinball table?
Not that much. For pinball
enough.
FX? There's pinball arcade, and there's pinball FX. Zen do pinball FX.
Maybe I'm thinking arcade is the one that charges a decent amount of money per table.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have some FX stuff. Also, I prefer FX to arcade.
Arcade
is the one that does like all of the like real life tables.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that they'll still probably survive. The real life arcade tables, like I wonder if like those pinball games are not really that hard to make to begin with. And they charge a decent amount for the ones that are licensed, and I bet a decent amount of that is going specifically to pay for the licensing. But,
oh yeah, I'm sure it is.
I think they're both probably fine. I'm no game developer, but I assume that like the overhead on those is not tremendous.
I mean, like,
and they probably make their money back because they're weirdos like me who are way into video pinball.
Pinball Arcade has like the Addams Family table, but Pinball FX
yeah.
has American Dad. So. Sorry,
yeah,
Pinball FX. That's what I'm going
no,
with.
No, this is why you invest in both of them. I've downloaded the launchers for those. I think it's the same thing with both of them, where it's like you get a launcher for it and then you
yeah.
pay for the individual tables. And I've just like not bought any of the individual tables. I just have the launchers in my library.
So for me, the thing was I really liked Pinball FX early on when the tables were much simpler. Because when they got way complicated, I'm just like, man, I don't know what I'm doing here. Like, I have to rotate
yeah.
these things around and shoot a ball into here, and then Captain America throws his shield over to Spider-Man, and then I have to go to this other segment of the table. Yeah, I don't know. Like, they can do interesting stuff with it because they're not beholden to a real-life table they have to emulate, but...
Yeah. Boy, you should check out Demon's Tilt if you want to play a pinball game where
I
you
have
no
goddamn
Demon's idea
Tilt.
What the fuck you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I know.
That thing is
shaking
overwhelming.
And vibrating and pixels everywhere.
Extremely dense pixel art that makes it super easy to lose the extremely
yep.
tiny ball that you use
yeah.
in that game.
Yep.
I legitimately love Demon's Tilt. I think that is a good game, but also yeah,
not.
it is sensory overload.
Deca Games.
Deca.
Current owners and developers of the massively multiplayer online shooter Realm of the Mad God, which I guess is still going.
Hmm. I feel like if you have a profitable MMO game out on the market, you're probably doing fine. I don't think that they're going to want to cut that.
I guess they have subsidiaries, A Thinking Ape Entertainment, Crazy Labs.
See,
now
those are
Interactive.
Those are good names for studios. These
yeah.
other studios could learn something from Thinking Ape.
But then you get Yugo Mobile Entertainment and Jufeng Studio. Those aren't as good. Crazy Labs,
yeah.
though.
Crazy Labs, yeah, well, I mean, we have previously established we are huge fans of crazy games.
Yeah,
so
of
I
course.
Think, you know, very similar naming convention, I'm into it.
Gearbox, dead, kill him.
Yeah.
Put Randy
yes.
Pitchford in the sewer.
I was going to say they're going to
put... Roll him up in plastic and dump him under a football field.
They're going to put Randy Pitchford in that lifeboat from the Phantom Pain and send him out to sea with a small box of food.
Wow, with food? Give him like a bottle of oil, like at the end of Quantum of Solace.
Well, now you're talking about what he deserves, not what is realistically going to happen.
Yeah, I guess so.
They're going to auction off that thumb drive full of porn to keep their company afloat.
It's okay, it's like a magic trick. I just wanted to see how she was doing it. Cryptic Studios apparently is owned by Gearbox. I don't know about that. Like, they're still around.
Hmm.
So I guess they're doing okay, but maybe not. Maybe they're hemorrhaging money. Well, I saw a documentary called Wrestlers recently,
Okay.
It's about OVW, Ohio Valley Wrestling, run by the great Al Snow. And they were losing heaps of money every week with no possible hope of recouping it. So you can do that for quite a while, apparently. As long as there are people stupid enough to just be like, well, I'm going to keep funding this.
I mean, Twitter. Number one, that's Twitter's business model at this point, is losing money very rapidly, but still sticking around despite that.
And Netflix.
I was going to say Netflix. Like, streaming services in general are not really a very big money-making operation. Like, really, just about everything is kind of in this state where they are blowing tons of cash and there's not enough coming in. It's like, at some point, a lot of these whole industries are going to need to have the bubble burst. It's kind of like, okay, well, which one's it going to be at this point? Is it going to be movies? Is it going to be games? Is it going to be... What about comics? Comics have never been doing fucking good. I don't know where they're at currently. You would know more about that than me. But...
They had a boost during COVID. Sales were up. Now it's kind of just gone back to what it was before. They're fine. It's harder to tell, though, now because of the split from Diamond into, like, DC and Marvel going to, like, Penguin Random House and whatever other distributors without a centralized place to get sales data from. You can't really know. But things seem to be basically what they were pre-COVID now.
I just had a thought real quick, since you mentioned
what
you mentioned COVID kind of giving them a bump. Maybe more of these major publishers should be investing in, like, I don't know, good emulators and just throwing their old games up and charging a decent amount of money for them. Like, maybe that's a revenue stream that they could look into that has surprisingly not been, like, more of a thing.
Yep, you would think.
Yep. Yeah. Next studio.
Strangely enough, Konami seems to be the only one interested in doing that.
Yeah, that it is kind of, well, Nintendo to a certain extent now, but that is still part of a whole online service. Yeah. And, you know, I trust that they must have looked at the numbers for that and went, okay, well, this actually would make us more long term than if we sold these piecemeal. I think you could do both, frankly, and that would probably make them even more money. But
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know.
Anyway, Randy Pitchford, Bottle of Oil, make it happen.
Yeah.
Asmodee.
Asmodee! Funky Cole Modena?
A French publisher of board games, card games, and role-playing games.
Oh, you know. They're probably fine if they're just putting out, like, board games and stuff.
They're the Ticket to Ride guys.
They're probably fine.
Catan, Carcassonne.
They're fine.
Why are they under Embracer Group? What's this?
It's an Embrace. Well, Limited Run Games is also under Embracer Group. They buy more than I think they started as a physical games company.
Okay, thank you. I was saying now we're into the non-video game stuff because after is Dark Horse, which
they're dead.
Speaking of. Oh no, Dark Horse has been coming back lately. Since they lost, like, all those licenses and stuff. Now they're seem to be getting more high profile creators back to do stuff. I think Scott Snyder has a book with them now. They got the Goon back. Which you should be a big fan of.
Yeah, no, okay. Yeah, they're sticking around then.
I love that Eric Powell probably at some point was like, everybody's talking about gooning now.
Eric Powell just getting on the internet and being like, I think I'll look up goon and see how well my series is doing. Jump cut to the exterior of his house and muffled screaming.
Goon's great, though.
Yes.
People, everybody should read The Goon.
Yeah. Wish and everybody should goon.
We shouldn't encourage that. Come on. Apparently, Limited
all
Run
listeners of this podcast should goon.
Apparently, Limited Run Games is a subsidiary of Free Mode, which also includes Middle Earth Enterprises. I like that Limited Run Games. It's like a sister company to Middle Earth now.
Man. they're
that
gonna
guy
man,
from Digital Foundry just like meeting Gollum in the hall.
I'm going to share a very short story that's a little bit gross. I had this Labrador Retriever for a long time, and as he got older, he kept growing this big fatty tumor right on his ass, and we had to keep getting it lanced off, and it cost a bunch of money, and then sure enough, 2 months later, that tumor would start growing in the same spot again. That's limited run games. They are never going away.
Yeah,
you're
as many
hang
times...
off the ass of Embracer forever.
Every time they have like pre-orders for something, and then it's like 14 months later, people still don't have it, but they're like, oh, well, I have to pre-order this next thing that they have.
Yeah. And just loading up those threads and seeing people going like, oh, I hate limited run, but ooh, they got this game. I need to get it.
Yeah.
And like, I look,
I
fell into
that
trap exactly once. So.
I almost did it for Monkey Island.
Yeah.
But then I remembered, like, the quality of their product is not good.
I did that for Shredder's Revenge. The quality of that one was fine. But, yeah, if you're getting anything with, like, a bunch of bonuses and stuff, or you're getting a game that is, like, specifically getting, like, a repro copy along with it, like, yeah, that's where it gets really questionable. Also, they took forever to ship it out. So, you know.
Well, yeah. That's... Of course.
Yeah.
And then here we go. Crystal Dynamics and Eidos Montreal.
Oh, God. Okay.
Why are these after the non-video game things?
I don't know.
Maybe
so I
it's
think this
an
is,
order of what they bought.
This is more a case of what do they currently have in development?
New Tomb Raider at Crystal Dynamics.
Eidos.
Okay. Ooh.
Yeah, because Eidos is the one that I'm more concerned about. Well, I don't think they're making a new Deus Ex, are they?
I don't know. I thought so.
Oh, boy.
Last game was Guardians of the Galaxy.
That was a pretty good game.
Yeah, it did not sell well.
No, and I don't think that Mankind Divided sold very well. Otherwise, we would have had another Deus Ex in between that, so...
Crystal D, meanwhile, I forgot they are doing that Perfect Dark remake.
Yeah.
Slash reboot, whatever. And then, Untitled Tomb Raider game. So,
it's
being funded by Amazon. That's under Amazon Games, and then Perfect Dark is from Xbox. So Crystal Dynamics, probably okay?
Yeah, I think they're probably fine. Gex live forever. Gex live for 1,000 years. Eidos, on the other hand, I think that that is a case where maybe Embracer sees the value of the Deus Ex brand as something that they could sell to another company. Especially if their last couple games did not necessarily perform that well. And especially if one of those games that didn't perform well was a Marvel game based off of a property that people are both very aware of and generally seem to like.
Here's a question. Do you think they're a package deal?
No.
Because, like, I guess Embracer would have the rights to Tomb Raider. No.
Yes.
Amazon bought the rights to Tomb Raider, didn't they?
I don't know what's currently going on with Tomb Raider.
I thought someone did because wasn't there... It was, like, some crazy amount that they bought it for.
Man, you're not going to like what I have to say. Literally what I know about current Tomb Raider is they put Lara Croft in, was it Call of Duty? What was it they put her in?
Yes, Call of Duty.
Yeah, and then people were mad that her tits weren't big enough. So, like, that's where I'm at with my knowledge.
These are the people you follow.
Unfortunately, that's about where I'm at with the Tomb Raider franchise. I got those, like, old Tomb Raider games sitting in my library. I need to play them at some point. I played, like, up to the end of that one that had Jesus Christ in it.
Hell yeah, it's probably, Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah. It was good. I wasn't in the mood for that kind of game at the moment. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm contributing to their downfall.
Oh, what I was thinking of was actually Embracer Group's purchase, which was they purchased a number of Square Enix Europe assets in May 2022 for $300 million.
Oh, God. For the cost of one Spider-Man game, they bought all these IPs.
Including Crystal Dynamics and the Tomb Raider franchise.
Shit. I think given the low cost of investment that they made on them, they're probably keeping them around.
Low.
They're probably fine. Well, that would be a low amount, wouldn't it, for
No.
that studio, for that
For
IP?
Tomb Raider? No.
Isn't Tomb Raider big enough that they would
No,
be
every
valued
game has
fairly
been
highly?
selling bad.
They have?
Yeah.
I thought that those three did totally fine.
I don't know. I
Look,
thought they did not do well. Of course, there was
man, I
that
don't
whole
know. I don't
issue
got
with
my
Square
hand on the.
Enix, like saying that everything sells bad even though it actually doesn't.
Well, and that's part of it too, is Square Enix was the one selling them, and I thought Square Enix was selling everything for basically pennies on the dollar. I thought that was their whole thing, was they were selling them cheap because they wanted to invest in crypto.
Maybe that's it. Yeah. Maybe the point was like the Tomb Raider IP's cheap. I don't know what numbers are anymore, is the thing. Like, after all of this, it's like 300 mil. Is that a lot? Is it not? I
Numbers,
don't know.
numbers, numbers.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's fucking dead.
Who is?
The square possibly is fucking dead.
Yeah,
I
well,
mean, I'm kind of surprised that, yeah, that's unrelated to
unrelated.
Embracer, but yeah, I am, as an aside, surprised that Square Enix is still doing well enough to be in business.
I guess, yeah, I think it's probably at the time I thought like 300 million sounds like a lot, and it still does. But then when you're talking about Spider-Man 2 costing that much, it's like maybe they got a good deal.
Talking about just the cost of like AAA game development at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that and again, for me, I think that the main thing was when that story broke of Square selling their IPs, it was, oh, they're selling them for cheap. And so I just assume, well, 300
Well,
million
yeah,
in that case for a studio and IP is probably like actually cheap.
I guess yes, the Tomb Raider IP specifically.
Yeah.
Because they're making another movie, I think.
Yeah, in any case, I think that they're sticking around.
I think
Eidos.
the new Tomb Raider movie is like going to be an Amazon Films thing. That's probably why I was thinking they bought it.
But there's
Because they're
also,
also publishing that
yeah.
game.
If it is enough of an IP that Amazon is also going to sink money into it in addition to what they paid for it, I think that they're going to keep both.
Okay.
They're going to keep that studio around. I think they're at the very least are holding on to the Tomb
Make
Raider
a new
IP.
Legacy of Kain.
I mean, yes, but Eidos, I think again the fact that a Marvel franchise product did not sell well, I don't. Do you know like how much it sold or like?
I don't know. It was
Okay,
very low.
but it okay it, because I had no idea whether or not it sold well. This is the first I'm hearing that it didn't.
You couldn't
But
tell it
yeah.
was like $20 within 2 months of coming out.
Yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, the fact that that didn't sell well, and I think Deus Ex,
It was the seventh best-selling game in the US in October
Oh, God.
2021.
Okay. Yeah, they're, I think that they're, I know we have to say live or die. I do think in that case it is more likely that they just get a bunch of people cut from their staff and they don't shut down, but between those two choices, it's probably die.
Yeah, I guess so. And then we have our former subsidiaries, Foxglove Studios, divested in 2019, Square Enix Montreal, closed in November 2022, Campfire Cabal, closed in August 2023, Goosebite, divested in August 2023, Volition, closed in August 2023, Free Radical Design, closed in December 2023.
Christ, man. Again, studios with names you recognize. They're not Purple Lamp.
No, it's Volition. It's Free
Yeah.
Radical. I mean, well, it's like a zombie Free Radical.
Sure. But those are still names.
Yeah.
And they have shut down within that span of time. I'm trying to think of like another point in time in the video game industry, like obviously other than like the crash that happened before the 8-bit generation.
Wow. That's the noise Crash makes.
Yeah. I thought you were saying, wow, like I was alive and aware of it back then. But
No.
like, because I was, of course, I'm 80 years old. But yeah, just I can't think of another time where you had like this many just back-to-back studio closures, and they were major studios or studios with well-established names.
Yeah, I don't know.
Best year ever. Fuck.
Okay. Is that
All
it?
right.
You have anything else to add?
I had just one other tiny little thing I wanted to add from the Grammys. This is a slight correction, not quite a correction, but kind of like tiptoeing up to it. When we were talking about the completionist thing, I did say that I wasn't sure whether Carl Jobst had a background in journalism. I made it sound like there was the possibility he did. Again, that story is not something that I particularly care to like dig into. It is not interesting enough for me. But that one little bit didn't quite stick right with me to kind of throw that out there and not do a little bit of digging to make sure that was or was not the case. Just in case Carl is listening, I do not want to get sued for possibly getting something wrong. So I'm going to say it is of my opinion, looking at various sources, Wikipedia and others, that Carl does not have a journalistic background. His background is in IT and I believe psychology. So the investigative journalist title that appears in his Wikipedia page certainly seems self-appointed.
Okay, so, I just say wrong stuff and then don't care. I just forget about it.
That's probably the way to do it. Just be a little bit more careful. There's always the possibility he took, like, I don't know, a single course for journalism once.
I don't think that makes you an investigative journalist.
No, I don't think it does
like
either.
Taking one criminal science class doesn't make you a Columbo.
I'm going to say that in my film production major, which is now so far behind me, it basically shouldn't have even like been a thing I invested into. That was still heavily tied to broadcast journalism. I'm going to go on a limb here and say I probably have more like journalistic credibility than Carl Jobst at this point. I had to take actual AP writing and media law.
Right.
Not sure he did.
Well, cool. So, brag, bro.
Yes, I will look for any opportunity to brag over people like fucking Mudahar and Carl Jobst and Gerard the Completionist.
Cretans,
all of them. Yeah, I know I should have. Yes, they had so many of them. And then years later, I was like thinking back to like, oh, man.
Just man, carry one away. PBMs. They wouldn't notice.
They had so many just like lying around, dude. It was
Nirvana.
For yeah.
A freak like you who loves yeah. Stan lines.
I mean, that's kind of part of
the pixels. They were meant to look that way on a CRT, so that's why you gotta play them with the CRT, man. Blurs it together. It looks like crap.
You know,
that's how they wanted it to look.
Well, okay, number one, shut up, bitch. Number two, if I were stolen any equipment that they had, it would have been like one of the gigantic, like 2,000-pound old cameras that they used to film like 4:3 standard def football games.
I'm killing you.
I don't care.
Just imagining trying to get that back in my apartment, get it up over the lip on the doorstep, and it just falls backwards and crushes me to death.
Oh, that would be funny.
That's yeah, that is the end of the George show. Yeah, now I wanted to throw that in because based on what I've been able to gather, yeah, he doesn't have any actual formal journalistic training, which is kind of even more punctuates the fact that he is a drama YouTuber and probably not the person he should be.
Neither does H-Bomber guy, and yet he's destroyed at least two people we know of. So
that is what I've considered to, like, my point that I don't want drama you. My point that I don't want drama YouTubers to be the ones that are like kind of carrying the ball on that story is not that I don't think that any YouTuber shouldn't, just that more responsible parties should. That's all I got to say about that. So. And that's all I have to say about that. No, that's man, the Grimmies were really lengthy this year because the state of the industry is a nightmare. It feels like it is in free fall, and I don't know how much longer any of this is going to last, but it doesn't seem like it's going to last much longer.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Join us next year when we won't have a podcast anymore. Goodbye.